I'm going to go back to one of the, my biggest philosophers from back in the day.
Oh,
and he has his pain.
Little Wayne.
Right? I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Joaquin said dominate, and we ain't doing it.
The national championship game is almost upon us, which means it's prediction time. Here at Crane & Cone, we appreciate you hopping on. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Over 200K on our way to 200 trillion K.
Oof.
That's even a thing.
Lowball a lot.
Doesn't even that lines up 100% mathematically. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver. This episode is presented to you by our friends over at Good Ranchers. They're always number one when it comes to American meat that's delivered. But we like to bring in special guests for special occasions. This being the one game that we have left, technically, in the college football season, we thought we'd bring in one of our brothers, one of our new brethren from On Three. Some call him the pickler. Some call him the blonde bomber. Well, that's what the FBI used to call him. It's our buddy, J.D. Pickell. J.D., what's up, buddy? Put your hands together.
What's up, brother?
Yes, yes. Hey, how we feeling over there? How's life?
Dude, just feels right. Just feels right doing this with y'all is now part of the team. We got the national title game. Like, dude, vibes could not be higher. And Mondays suck, and national title games on a Monday suck, but college football games to start your week doesn't suck. So we're taking the good, man, pleasure to be on with y'all,
it's
man.
Good perspective.
Yeah, good you for you on saying? Looking at it glass half full.
Yeah.
I think you're
always
slowly becoming Matthew
always.
McConaughey,
Jamie. You know?
Just feels right.
That's a compliment.
You know?
But look, guys, I want to start this off. Obviously, we're going to get to picks. We want to know in the comments, who are you picking to win? Give us an exact score. And I'll tell you what, if you want to get a little extra credit, if you want to get a little bit more than one look when we look at these comments, because unfortunately sometimes we have to, tell me one reason, the main reason why you picked the team you did. I want to know that in the comments. But JD, I want to start with you first. Give me one key for either team. It can be Indiana or Miami that you think is the most important at the end of the day. What do you got?
So I'm looking at the team that probably has to do more to win this game. And Vegas is saying that's Miami. I think everyone with eyeballs is saying, Miami, you got to show up here and play a super clean game. Mm-hmm. You know what I think is not being talked about enough is the skill players for Miami. Like, we know Bane's a psychopath. We know the line of scrimmage for Miami. If that just shows up and they boss up and that's the reason why they take over the game physically, like, okay, cool. We know that script. Mm-hmm. But for Miami to, like, hang around in this one, if Mendoza's dealing, they got to convert third down. They all Ole Miss that game against Miami. Like, Miami was living in third and eight. Like, third and eight against Indiana is not a good place to live. So I don't love like that down and distance. But if they can live in third and passing and convert with Tony and Daniels and Mayer, like they got some guys that I think have kind of been the unsung hero of this playoff run for them. So those dudes winning both after the catch and then a man-to-man coverage, I think that's got to be talked about. Beck's got to play clean. You got to win line. All those things are important. But if those dudes on the outside for Miami can win their matchups, we're going to get into the fourth quarter. This thing is going to get a little bit more uncomfortable for the Hoosier fans. And two, I'll say this, like Miami, in terms of fourth quarter games, like they've been in the deep water more consistently. Like they played, I think, like something like 4-1 score games over the course of this second half of the season. So, I mean, Miami in general, keep the game close. You feel good about it, but you only do that with your skill players.
Well, and Cone, I think when you look at it, most of these games that we feel like have a chance to be really good or tight, the team that can win third down and four, third down and five, and third down and six is most likely going to win the game. Those middle tier kind of can be a pass or a run depending on situationally what's going on, and that's most likely the distance you're going to get in some of these third downs. But just give me a key. It can be anybody for any team. I was just interested jumping on here today. Kind of the first thing that comes to mind to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I just want to give a shout out to the stakes that we have in this football game. I mean, you got an Indiana program that's been the exact opposite of a football powerhouse historically, with a chance to become the first team in the modern era to go 16-0 50 years after their basketball team did that, the last team to do that, up against a traditional blue blood powerhouse in Miami, but been wandering the wilderness for 25 years here, trying to get back on top of the sport. So I love what's at stake here. I've been thinking about the question you just asked for a couple days now. And what I think Miami needs to do to win the game is they need to win time of possession and be even or better in the turnover battle and the penalty battle. There was no team that did that against Indiana. There were two teams that committed fewer penalties in the game against Indiana and one time of possession. That was Iowa, and Iowa played them close to 5 points, and that was the Buckeyes.
Oh, I was going to guess Penn State.
Well, okay. Buckeyes won both of those battles, time of possession and penalties, and that was a 13-10 game. Penn State also played them to 3 points. They were even on penalties, and they were 1 minute short of winning time of possession. So almost exactly even. Those are the three most competitive games that teams have been able to give against Indiana. And when you look at Miami, let's just look at the last game they lost against SMU. Third down, Miami 7-16, their opponent 3-13. Good. Rushed for 159. SMU ran for 23 yards. Good. Time of possession, 37 minutes to 23 minutes. Good. But they committed 12 penalties to SMU's 4. 3X committed 2 turnovers to SMU's 1 turnover. Even against Ole Miss, we talked about it. They're 11 of 19 on third down, 2 for 2 on fourth. Ole Miss is 2 for 10. Awesome. You held the football for 41 minutes against their 19. Good. You ran for 191 against 121, but they committed 10 penalties to Ole Miss's 4, and you turned the football over, and the Rebels didn't. And while they did win that game, they had to win it in a fashion they shouldn't have had to win because they were dominating, and they had to come back at the very end. So you cannot lose the turnover battle. You cannot lose the penalty battle against this Indiana team, and you got to find a way to win time of possession, because if you do that, that means you're running the football well, and that means you're getting off the field on defense against Fernando Mendoza.
I love when you dig into the archives and find those little nuggets, Coney. It's like that. What's that show when they go to like Oak Island and try and find the gold, but they just never find it? You find it like once every 3 episodes.
They didn't find it?
Yeah.
That's why the show keeps going on. If they find it, they just end the show.
They just love it when you dig in, Coney.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. I'm sure that'll be clipped sent around the world, Deuce. I appreciate that at 10 o'clock in the morning. On a Wednesday. Awesome.
That's how you got to start it.
Yeah. Blaine, what do you think? Give me one key. Give me the key to the streets here.
Look, I'm not going to dress this up, to be honest. I mean, you put two brawlers in a cage, it's going to come down to physicality. I think it's going to come down to physicality and havoc, right? Obviously, who can win the line of scrimmage up front of the offensive line and who can create havoc on defense? And if you look at it, obviously Bain and Mesidor has to get to those guys, not only getting to Mendoza, but can Indiana get to Carson Beck? I think we've seen a lot in the last couple of games. Carson Beck, so surprised, especially to Jake, he can move a little bit, right? He can move around in that pocket. He can go get you 5 to 6 yards. So the big thing with me is, with a team coach by Cristobal and Cignetti and Mom Spaghetti, what do they want to do? They want to win the physicality battle. This is going to be a 5 rounds of, look, we're not dancing around the cage. All right, we're going to meet you in the middle of the cage, point at the ground, and we're going to go at it. The skill positions, they're going to have to show up. Obviously, the quarterbacks are going to have to show up. But this game will be won and lost at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
To me, there's one number that I think, you know, and again, it's one of the ones that isn't going to jump out on the page the first thing you look at in the box score. But after this game is played, I think if you go back and look at it, this is going to tell the story. And it goes a little bit along, JD, with what you were saying about third down and getting into manageable third downs and being able to convert, is yards per play on first down. I think when you go back and you look at this game and you look at the yards per play on first down, I think it's going to tell you multiple things. One, a team gave themselves a chance to stay on schedule. Two, if Miami is having a lot of success on first down, I think it's because the run game is working. And if they're able to continue that, that means that Shannon Dawson stuck to it and didn't get too try and get too cute. I'm not saying you never run play action on first down when it's working or anything like that, but really kind of sticking to what works. And then on Indiana's side, if they're able to get some movement on first down, it's allowing Mendoza, whether it's through the RPO or whatever, to really kind of reach deep and let them get into their stuff on the perimeter in the passing game that's really, really good that we don't just see in the red zone. The rubs, the picks they do with even the tight ends on the interior working to the exterior while the exterior wide receiver comes in, I think that's going to allow them to kind of get a little bit more creative and then get into those third and twos and third and threes. So I'm going to go yards per play on first down here. I think it's going to tell the story. And also on the Miami side, we keep talking about how Indiana, they're going to show up. They're the Eagle Scout. right? They're the one you walk by in the neighborhood and they're painting the picket fence for old lady Cranebridge out front. Right? Their haircut's always really good. They say yes, sir. They say no, ma'am. Right? You'd let them take your daughter to the prom because you know they're not going to cross the line. So if you're Miami, staying on schedule is very important because Indiana is not going to beat themselves. They're not going to do it. You have to go out there and beat them. But and
how
again,
you turn that around.
This Cranebridge got me. Sounds like she makes a great snickerdoodle.
No, she does. She does. And she puts it. She puts the cookies on the windowsill. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm basically just putting together Mayberry in college football terms here. When you look, we talked also, and Blaine, I want to go back to you on this one because I thought the conversation we had the other day about which matchup do you think is the most intriguing here, or maybe will tell the biggest story, and we went through ours. Have you kind of stuck with the same on what you think? Is there now maybe a matchup position group wise, O line, D line on one side, running back group versus linebacker? Is there anything else that's changed, or are you sticking with the one that brought you?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the one that brought me. And to be honest, if we go back to that episode, I said it was a skill position matchup. I can't remember, right, the last time Omar Cooper Jr. or Surratt or that white monster running around didn't win a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah.
Didn't win a one-on-one matchup. Every one-on-one matchup that Mendoza's, and look, the ball placement is fantastic. I will say that. But these guys always come down with the ball. I think Surratt catches everything you throw at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything you throw at him. So
Mike
really,
Evans, man.
I'm really interested to see how this Miami secondary, one, is going to perform in their one-on-one matchups. How can they hold up? And two, how can they tackle in space? I think they've done a fantastic job in the playoffs of tackling in space, and Indiana as well. And both these teams, and this is really underrated now, doesn't get talked about enough, maybe because I'm a receiver, they block really well from a receiver standpoint. Mm. Both these teams do. That's the difference from a 6-yard run and a 16 to a 20-yard run. So who can not only win the one-on-one matchups when the ball's in the air, but who can win the one-on-one matchups when that ball's on the ground and you can get off a block and go make a tackle?
Well, I want to add on to this, Conan, and ask you, because Blaine does bring up a really good point about what Miami's secondary and linebackers have been able to do. It's such an advantage when you have the pass rush that Miami has as a DB and as a play caller, because you can be really aggressive because that ball's got to come out.
Yeah.
You know, like the quarterback's not able to sit back there and read half of the first Harry Potter book. So when you see Keontae Scott jump a route, right? When you see these guys on the outside play really aggressive, even from depth, right? Even from depth and leverage, be able to just, hey, look, we know that the clock is ticking. You don't have time to double move us. That is such a weapon to have. But I will say, if Indiana and Mendoza, that RPO game gets working, that slows down that pass rush a little bit, right? Just like play action in a way. And then I think Mendoza, like Trinidad Chambliss did for Ole Miss, will take the free release if he has it early because he can make all the throws. I mean, Cone, just from your perspective, I mean, guy, you know the ball's got to get out.
Yeah, and that's the matchup I was most excited to see, is Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winner, against the entirety of this Miami defense. And we talked so much about Bain and Mesidor, but Keontae Scott, who you brought up, one of the best playmakers in the country. And you talk about jumping routes because the ball has to get out quick. I saw him do that against Julian Sain, who didn't throw many interceptions this year. Pick six, back to the house. And that's the way that the Miami defense has been going. And Blaine, you and I were talking about after the Ole Miss game, okay, they only have one sack, right? But they're able to get creative pressures to get the football out of the hands of the quarterback quickly. A lot of times they were 6 up on the line of scrimmage, 7 up on the line of scrimmage. They're bringing Keontae Scott. They're bailing Mesidor. A lot of times it wouldn't even be a true blitz. They're just bringing 4, but the creative way they approach that. Mm-hmm. How can Fernando Mendoza approach that defensive scheme, especially when RPO and getting the ball out of his hands quickly? That's something I'm really excited about. On the flip side of that, I do have one question. I'd like a number from each of you, because I have a number in my mind I came up with this morning, and that's Miami's rushing attack, because they've been running the football so well. Yeah. That is what has carried them to the national championship game. And I understand that every single area that Miami is bad in, they need to be better in a different area. So Carson Beck throws interceptions, they need to be better on third down, and we know how that puzzle works. Mm-hmm. But from a rushing standpoint, what number do you think Miami has to hit in their rushing attack to feel comfortable about winning the game?
I'll start here. I'll say overall, give me at least 150.
Okay.
I think 150 is probably bottom of the barrel, to be honest with you. But if they get to that number, I think they'll give themselves a chance.
What about you, guys?
Jake, I got 170 was the first number.
And that,
number, that feels high, right? Feels high. But, like, it took in that neighborhood to beat A&M. And A&M wasn't even scoring. Like, A&M scored 3 points, and you're sweating it out on the final play against Marshall Reed. Like, I have a very difficult time. As good as Miami is up front, as good as that defense has been, I have a really hard time seeing Indiana scoring less than 21 in this game. So if that's the number that Indiana's going to score, I need Carson Beck to get something going downfield. That only happens if I'm actually legitimately worried about big Mark Fletcher behind his pads with a hot hand coming downhill at me. And so if I'm talking about Miami winning this football game, it's gonna take something drastic to overcome a somewhat drastic spread here in our national title game against a team that we're talking about being in the company of 2019 LSU. So like I need a $170 boys for Miami to get some score. Blaine?
Look, if I ran for 160 yards and lose, I'm pissed.
Yeah,
I'm pissed. I would probably say 130.
That was my number.
Yeah,
130 is the bottom of the floor for me.
I agree.
Give yourself a chance. But then on top of that, like I said before, you can't do that, but then throw three interceptions.
You
can't
do it.
But if you're rushing for 130, that at least tells me that you're converting third downs and you're probably doing well in time of possession. And if you're doing that, that means Fernando Mendoza's on the sidelines.
Well, that too. And I mean, again, if at 130 yards, and I'm not a mathematician, everybody knows that, but you know, that if you were to get to that 130 mark and you ran it 35 times, I mean, you're looking at averaging over 3.5 yards a carry. That's a pretty damn good clip, especially against an Indiana team. JD, I want to kind of shift
real quick. Hold on, real quick, Jack. I will say this for the people out there who are bettors. Right now, the line for Miami rushing total yards is 96.5.
Okay.
96.5. Okay. Okay.
JD, one last thing. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, buddy.
I was curious. We're having this conversation like, hey, what did Ohio State do on the ground against Indiana? Like, they only scored 10 points, but in my mind's eye, I'm like, Bo Jackson kind of had a day, right? They rushed for 58 yards total, but you factor in a bunch of sacks from Julian Sain. Like, y'all, Bo Jackson had 5 a pop on 17 carries and still only equated to 10 points. So that's why I feel so strongly about, like, Miami's got to do – the extra credit work here to be able to score against this Indiana team.
Yeah, and you may have to mix in a decent amount of run stunts too. Yeah, I think you may have to pull the trigger on some of that. Mm. They're just so clean on their counter stuff. Anytime they're pulling, whether it's pin and pull, any type of gap scheme, and then obviously the zone stuff they do with the RPO. Before we get into picks, and again, we want your picks in the comments. Make sure you hit that subscribe button as well. JD, the screen game has been huge for Miami. To me, it bailed their ass out against Ole Miss. I think it, as good as the run game was, I think the screen game is what really kind of gave them their big plays in the second half. You know Indiana's going to be prepped for that. If you were going up against this Miami offense, you've got to obviously follow Malachi Toney. He's typically going to take you to the ball. But how are you coming out and playing from an aggression standpoint? Are you going to try and play even with them early to see if, hey, we can go out here and not run peanut butter and jelly and vanilla ice cream, but we don't have to come out here and do something drastic, which protects us? I'm talking about from a pressure standpoint. And then, you know, we get hit in a screen game when they replace the blitz with the ball, even if it's naturally or organic or whatever. How would you go about defending this Miami team just from a overall kind of philosophical standpoint, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head, man. I think you go out there and you say, listen, we like our guys. We think you guys have great interior, trench monsters. We don't want to get just beat to death. But at the same time, like, we're one of the best defenses here in the entire country. So with that being the case, the thing that I don't want to do if I'm Indiana on the flip side of that rushing conversation is I don't want to show up at halftime and be like, dang, how do we stop the run, boys? Like, we're getting our teeth kicked in. I think you trust Aiden Fisher. I think you trust that entire linebacking core. This is one of those games you really wish you had daily, right, to be able to kind of add some more physicality to that front. But I think you say, we'll focus on the run game. We'll play honest on the outside. And if we have to adjust at halftime to the passing game, so be it. But we're not going to come in at half and say, they got 100 on us in the first half, boys. We got to figure this out. So I think you keep an honest box. And then if you got to commit extra resources after the half, you do that. But I want to create as many situations as possible to where I ask Carson Beck to throw the football against our secondary. Like that is my number one thing. I want to increase the likelihood of Pandora's box opening. And we're talking about Carson Beck having one, maybe two mistakes. Like, I mean, that was the story against Oregon, wasn't it? I mean, the first half we're like, yeah, I don't know if you know, Oregon's that many points worse than Indiana, but they spotted them 21, like game, set, match. So yeah, honest in the first half, we'll readjust in the second half.
I'll be honest, I think Oregon misaligned a lot in the first half too, in the box. There were times where, I mean, Indiana there's almost nobody at the mid-tier level to stop it, and you're just like, what the hell are they doing? 2026 marks 250 years of America. That's right, a quarter of a millennium running things. And conversation around American culture will be front and center all year long, just like how your team didn't make the Natty unless you're an Indiana or Miami fan. At that point, congratulations. But it doesn't matter who you're a fan of if you want the best meat delivery company there is. And that's our friends over at Good Ranchers. You need to head over to goodranchers.com right now and go subscribe to one of their boxes. They're incredible. And if you use our promo code Booster, you're getting an additional $25 off your first order with that code. Coney, I mean, again, if Good Ranchers was a team from any time frame, which team would they be?
Well, I want to say Indiana right now, but I want to make sure they close the door on this thing first, or that would be bad for Good Ranchers. But I'm a weirdo. I like high-quality steaks. So if you're a weirdo like me, you should get Good Ranchers delivered right to your door.
Blaine, you're basically the king of the weirdos. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you talking about the group, or you want to talk about Good Ranchers? I mean, if you send in your resume, obviously we could go through it. Hashtag Zoltan. But no, I mean, just a couple weekends ago, 6 bone-in ribeyes. 2 days ago, had Wagyu patties with the old lady. I'm just telling you, it's the best meat that you can get, not only on this planet, but I'm pretty sure in the galaxy. I'm going to have to call some contacts, but I'm pretty 100% on that.
Yeah, so head over to goodranchers.com. Use our promo code Booster. Get that $25 off. You can save up to $500 a year. Goodranchers.com, American meat delivered. All right, let's make our picks for the Natty boys. And Blaine, before we do this, side total emotions. What do you have?
Yeah, right now it is Indiana -8.5. And that is even money. The total's going off at 47.5. Not a lot of points getting thought about scoring in this game. Miami money line going off at +275.
All right, JD, start us off. I know I think you dropped your prediction show yesterday, so there may be a little bit of a spoiler alert here, but we don't care. No. We'll give it. It's not like you're only going to get the chocolate ice cream once. You'll order it again at some point. So, JD, what do you got? Who you got? How you got them there?
Man, so here's my thing. In national title games, I have been a victim of getting too cute before. I remember Washington, Michigan in 2023. For whatever reason, boys, I don't know if you'll remember that season, but like Kalen DeBoer and Michael Penix Jr., they were just living like Alex Holland free solo, just on the edge every single week. It's 3-point win. It's set. Like they just, I think every single game just about was a 1-score win.
Adrenaline so I'm, junkies,
I'm, man. I'm continuing to pick against Washington. I'm like, okay, at some point in time, you're going to lose a 1-score. You can't live this close to the edge and fall off. And so I go into that national title game and I'm like, I don't know Washington. I'll pick Washington to win. And the entire time I'm like, no, don't overthink this. The more physical team is Michigan, the more maybe fortified team internally is Michigan. And so game happens, Michigan wins. And I'm like, JD, you overthought that one. So my rule here is I'm not overthinking it. If Miami wins, it'll be a phenomenal story. I'll be happy for Cristobal. It'll be electric in the 305. But with that being said, it'll take something we haven't seen yet, which is I think Indiana shooting themselves in the foot a time or two. So I'm trusting the machine, the AI situation that is Indiana right now. I trust Mendoza. I trust the experience. Everyone joking about them being, you know, 23 years old, whatever the average age is. Last time I checked, wasn't illegal. Have a bunch of 23-year-olds on your football team. So I'll take Indiana to win. I think the final score here, 27. It hurts me to say this. So I think 27-17. I think Indiana wins. I think they cover. I'll take the under and feel pretty good about parlaying those two together. But the Hoosiers, from worst to first, man, national champs.
Wow. It's just – it's the ugly duckling situation just arising to become beautiful. A swan. Coney, you've met a swan before. I think it was Lynn Swan. But – you're the Big Ten guy. Not you played in the Big Ten. Let me preface that. Does the Big Ten take this one home?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm a college football guy, is what I would say.
You know,
but
you
having
played
in the Big Ten, but that doesn't factor into my decision here. I'm going to pick the Indiana Hoosiers to complete the quest to go 16-0 because not only have they been the best story in all of sports, but they've been the most dominant football team. And I love the reason that they're so dominant because it starts with their head coach Kirk Cignetti, the culture that he has instilled. These guys have a chip on their shoulder. We've laid out every single way that Miami can win this football game. I think They should embrace the underdog mentality. No one is picking you. No one is pulling for you. They love the story. They love Indiana. Embrace that. You get to play a national championship at home in the 305 after not being on top of this sport for 25 years. Embrace that. I hope Miami comes to play. And there's a couple underrated players who we haven't talked about for Indiana. That's Hemby and Black. So imagine you have to stop the Heisman Trophy winner in Fernando Mendoza and Surratt and Becker and Omar Cooper Jr. and then Hemby and Black, who've combined for 60 carries in two playoff games. You also have to deal with them. I love the way this team is put together. I'm going with the Indiana Hoosiers. 27 is the most points Miami's given up this season to Ole Miss. I think Indiana matches that number, 27-10.
Okay, so we have two 27s. That feels right.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and make mine.
Oh, wow, I'm last?
Yeah, you're going to go last because you always complain about never getting to go last.
Oh, good.
How about that?
Then you can't complain anymore.
I hope this is a great game. I want it to be a great game. As fun as it is to be able to record a reaction in the third quarter of an ass beating and go ahead and get that thing and drop that thing, I don't want to know the end of the movie until I see the end of the movie. So I'm hoping we're getting a great game. But it's just hard for me when you have humans fighting robots to not pick the robots. iRobot is a great movie, but let's be honest. The only reason that Will Smith won because he was kind of robot. Miami has to be kind of robot here, and they can't beat themselves, which there's an avenue where that happens, but I just trust Indiana and their non-feeling sociopathic machine-like way of mowing down everything in front of them, regardless of who they have or what they do best or what type of team, their makeup is, identity-wise from a schematic standpoint. It doesn't matter. It's just like when I watch the Roomba going around the living room. It's amazing to me. It cleans it up way faster than I would. So I'm going to pick the robots. I'm going to go with Cignetti and Mendoza and the rest of the AI army that is Indiana. Give me the Hoosiers. I'm going to go. Give me 30 to 23.
Okay.
I think Miami scores late. I think Miami scores late to cover. I think it's a backdoor. Yeah. Maybe Carson Beck backdoors it himself on the left side like he did against Ole Miss.
The backdoor.
Blaine.
First of all, a couple things here. All right. The first thing is,
hey, can I set you up?
Like, I can't wait for this.
Just want to steal the ball. Right. Do you want to inbounds the ball to yourself, or you want to let me just, you throwing it off the back of the person under the basket?
ISO.
Blaine, who do you like?
All right, a couple things here for what you just said. One, if humans ever break out with war against the robots, we know whose side Jake is on. All right, CIA, FBI, let's go ahead and come in here. And let's watch this guy. Second thing, why are you just watching your Roomba go around? All right, let's get up and do something.
I like technology.
I don't know. I feel like we should have more on our plate. I'm going to go back to one of my biggest philosophers from back in the day.
Right? Oh, boy, and he has this thing.
Little Wayne.
Right? I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Joaquin said dominate. And we ain't doing it. I put my heart in this shit, dog. All right?
Oh, boy.
And that would be Ed Reed. If you don't know that, you don't know ball.
If you haven't seen that video of Ed Reed at halftime of that game, and you wonder why they were out there and just the corners were waiting on the sideline for what was going to happen to the other team.
Yeah, this just feels like a game that Indiana thinks they can just walk into and control. Right? People are afraid to be locked in a cage with Indiana. Right? But I think when Monday comes, Miami's going to look at Indiana and say, hey, you're locked in here with me, right? They're not going to be afraid of this moment. They're going to be the more physical team. Look, you don't need three games of great football, all right? You just need four quarters. You just need four quarters of winning the run game, not shooting yourself in the foot, and the reason why you pay Carson Beck millions of dollars to go make the play when it needs to get made.
Say it.
I'm going with the Miami Hurricanes. The U, baby. 24-21.
Woo!
Let's go, Blaine. 24-21. Hey, game-winning field goal, walk-off?
Game-winning walk-off.
Give me the yardage and the hash. Give me the yardage and the hash.
42 yards left hash.
Wow. Wow.
42 piece for the Natty.
All right, so three Indianas and a Miami. And Blaine saves the graphic there. And again, we want to know who you're picking. Give us a score and give us a reason why underneath. All right, as we do on every show here, is there anything else anybody would like to add before we go?
It's been a great season, boys.
It has. Yes.
A great 2025 season.
JD, let's do this. Let's do this because I like to. I want you to describe the season up to this point in one word. Just one word, not two, not three. Give me one word. JD, go.
Poetic.
Tone, you're a wordsmith.
Well, the word that comes to mind to me is parity. I mean, how many times do we ask this question? Are there any elite teams this year? And it turns out that Indiana is. I think there was some brand bias with that. But, man, a lot of parity across the country this year. We saw a lot of brands punch above their weight. I was thoroughly entertained by this season.
I was too. Blaine, give me a word.
I'd say chaos. I just felt like every weekend something happened that wasn't supposed to, and it's just been absolute chaos. I mean, do you want to see how I got these scars?
Yeah. I'm gonna go usurper. Indiana, taking the title away from the Big Ten. Ole Miss, last SEC team left, you know? I just think usurper, the year of the usurper, man. But we appreciate you guys being here. Make sure, again, you're locked into Crane and Cone. JD, again, if they don't know, where can they find all your stuff? It's pretty easy to locate.
Man, home base, on three. We got the Crane and Cone boys here, man. Mm-hmm. We're locked and loaded, full speed ahead. This is awesome. This is going to be a great,
speaking of robots,
great season here.
Yeah, we basically built a transformer at on three. Well, Shannon did. But we appreciate you guys being here. Like the chances of me not being upset that it's almost over, but it's really never over. We're going.